Well, if you came this morning and got your bulletin, you can certainly follow along there. And apologize to those at home that maybe are looking at it online or printed. We added a couple little things. That's one of the benefits of coming in person. You get the latest version. But in order to get it out to people that are at home, we send that out as early Saturday as we can get it ready. And the first change is at the very top, I wrote the verse John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow, that's quite the promise given to us in John 8. Truth can make us free, and we'll talk more about that. Because this morning we want to talk about what has happened to truth. What has happened to truth? Well, as Jamie read there in those verses, if you were paying attention, Isaiah 59 answers that in verse 14. And in that, if it's a blank on your bulletin answer, it has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the street. And we have a picture here, as you can see, this kind of worn and trampled on Bible, if you can make that out, actually laying on the ground in the street and the weeds, and how sad but true that is when we think of that today. That if this topic sounds familiar to some of you, it's because it very well should be. It was almost 4 years ago today that I first preached this message, and it's just one that I found more and more timely. And it comes from even further back in that. Back in 2012, Pastor Tom Asbury, that founded the church, preached this message. And to this day, it is one of my favorite sermons ever preached from this pulpit. It just resonated with me even back then, you know, almost 10 years ago. And I did it a couple years after his passing. He passed 6 years ago, and basically real close to his second anniversary of his passing. I preached a message on this in tribute to Tom, because it did have such an impact on me. And some of it, I've changed some, obviously, but a lot of the first part especially is plagiarized. I want to give him the credit for a lot of the thoughts and what he wrote down. And again, the first half of that, I don't know if that's mic popping, but sorry about that. But the concept of truth has long been of special interest to me, even before I was saved. And it goes back, really, right? After college, I graduated, and three buddies and I, if you can believe this, of the old Elder Don, took off to Australia to hitchhike around the country. We literally had everything we owned in our backpacks, and we'd go out in pairs, because with that much loaded down, we'd hitchhike and stick a thumb out. So we pretty much have, if we're lucky to get a ride for two people, you know, we were very fortunate. Well, we hooked up in Melbourne of Australia, of all places. We decided to go south and get on the beach to watch the penguins come in at sunset. Kind of an exciting thing, we thought. Well, lo and behold, there was happened to be a kind of a hippie commune that was celebrating this event, annual event. And they all were from Melbourne. They had a few houses. They had a T-shirt factory. And we just met them on the beach, and they kind of took us under their wings, you know. And they followed this Indian guru, literally, not the Maharishi Yogi like we probably had all heard about, but very similar. Could have been his twin, for all I know. And they worshiped the truth. They had what they thought was the truth. And so they're trying to, I guess, maybe indoctrinate us a little bit. And the system they had seemed to actually work pretty good for them. But as you can imagine, a lot of that worked because it was kind of fueled by being on drugs half the time. So it was easier to get along, maybe, you know, if they were smoking something or taking something. And so even back then, it just really got me thinking. I was unsaved at the time, as I said, but it's kind of like, you know, there has to be a truth. There is a truth out there. I just didn't know what it was. And so I started thinking about things back then and wondering, and it wasn't, but it took four more years before someone shared the truth with me and I found the truth. But all that time, I was just kind of, you know, not avidly seeking it, but just had this concept, Okay, one of these days I'm going to figure out what truth is, whatever that might be. So, and it especially comes up, and again, if you think about it, 4 years ago was what? An election year. And it seems no better time to review the topic of truth during an election period, unfortunately. Amen? There is so much misinformation and stuff out there, and we all wonder, what in the world is the truth? And so I just thought it was a good time to resurrect this message about the truth, because it is so important. Now, what I want you to do this morning, especially, keep in mind that Isaiah wrote this around 700 BC. Almost 2,800 years ago, the Holy Spirit had Isaiah write these words down out of Isaiah 59. And as you will see, it's just incredible to me that 28 years ago, we are reading a message that quite literally could have been written this morning. If I had somebody posted on Facebook or online this message as of theirs today, I'd say, wow, that's really insightful. 2,800 years ago, we are warned and told about these things. And it seems more applicable this morning than it did yesterday, and than it did 4 years ago, and even 10 years ago, or 2,800 years ago. We are living in this chapter, I believe. It's just so amazing. So, you know, the truth will always be truth. Amen? There can only, God's word says it's just one truth. 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4. You know, maybe modern education can teach the kids, well, it might be 5 if you want it to be. Doesn't make it true. You know, the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. And truth is eternal. The one truth is truly eternal. You know, these flowers here, beautiful. Thank you, Gail, again. But they're fake. Now, us believing they're real, and they look real, I had to touch them and smell them this morning to make sure. But, you know, you can take my word for it. They are fake. And believing they're real doesn't make them real. The truth is they're fake. You know, and so there is. There's just things that are true. So, aren't we glad that some things don't change? That there is truth, and that some things we can count on, and we know, and we, you know, gravity and the sun, and all, there's just so much truth that we can really grasp onto. But how do we discover that? What's happened to truth? You know, I want to note especially that it does not say truth is dead. Truth is not dead. If God is truth, so if truth were dead, that would mean God is dead. Now, I grew up in a kind of an era in the teens and 20s where you heard that a lot. Well, God is dead. You know, I think there are billboards about that, and we certainly hear that today, you know, that God is dead. But the God's word tells us that is not so. So, unless God is dead, truth is not dead. So if he is alive, the truth is alive. And that's the thing we really want to hammer home this morning. Otherwise, how could it set us free in the verse we read? You know, how could truth set us free if the truth is dead and there is no truth, even though we're really being taught to question that nowadays? And the word says it has fallen. Truth has fallen. And it wasn't created, so it can't be destroyed. It wasn't created. It came with the Lord, with God. But it is true, could only be active when it's on its feet. Truth needs to be and active and you know, visible and going. It becomes inactive if it's fallen. You know, if it's somewhere laying in the road where we can't see it, weeds overcome it, you know, it can become inactive. Doesn't mean it's dead. So, even in the Old Testament, we see the rise and then the fall of Israel in the simultaneous periods. You know, they'd follow the truth for a while. Things would go well. You know, they'd quit following the truth and things would go poorly. They let the truth fall away. And then they got, the further away they got from God, the more trouble they got into. So we certainly see it today in our nation, don't we? It just gets farther away. And unfortunately, we still see it. We're seeing it more and more in many of the churches out there. And as Josh said, you know, we don't want to, you know, other Christians are brothers, and we need to pray for them, and we're not here to pick on them. But we just see the truth gets put down. It's fallen. It has fallen in the street. So it's imperative to note that only God's people can activate the truth. We have the truth. You can't expect somebody that doesn't have the truth to spread the truth. You know, they don't have it. So it's up to us. It's up to God's people as Christians that we profess to have the truth. Then who's going to talk about it if it isn't us? It's imperative to take that responsibility and to know that we have the truth. Most of the people in the world today believe a lie. They believe that God is dead. They certainly believe he's inactive. That's a lie. We can thank God that the truth is written down in the book. It is written in the book. Thank you, Lord, for that. And it's one they couldn't destroy. Remember, if you read history, all the attempts they've tried to eradicate the book. Big book burnings, Bible burnings everywhere. But God's word says he will preserve it. Praise God, he has preserved it. His word is eternal. The truth is eternal. So, Isaiah 59 is all about what happens when truth falls in the street. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Oh Lord, it is truly wonderful that your truth is eternal, that you've given it to us, you've preserved it just for us, maybe just for us today, Lord, that we can hear the truth and react to the truth, because there is only one truth. Thank you, precious Jesus, that you are the truth. Bless our time together. Holy Spirit, have your way in this service and just guide my thoughts and words, that I would be out of the way, but that your word, your truth, would be just manifest and projected into all those that would hear. So bless our time together. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. So, I want you to embark with me as we go through this, verse by verse. If you found Isaiah 59, just to the right of the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Solomon in there. But be amazed with me again as we talk about this. 2,800 years ago, this is written. And each verse, at least to me, just jumps out. Totally jumps out. So, even today, don't people cry out for truth? I do. Give us the truth. What is the truth, right? Everybody cries out for truth. But will God hear the cries? Does God hear those cries for truth? Let's look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. God does not need hearing aids. You know, I can go dark, boom, I am dark. I can't hear a thing. If you're laughing, I don't know. I can see the faces. But God doesn't need that. He can hear as he is here. But will he hear? That's another question. Look at verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Wow. It's not that he's not able, but what separates us? He won't hear if our sins have separated us. Do we have an unanswered prayer? We ask why. Maybe we should ask, what's going on in my life that my prayers are not being answered? Why has truth fallen in the streets? Number one on your handout there is, we have been separated from God. Is why. Hosea 9:10, second part of that that's there in your bulletin, says this, and it confirms, and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. Wow. We see that God didn't move. They separated themselves. They did that work and separated themselves. And just a quick little demonstration here. I'm going to turn off the mic for just a second.
I'm guessing not too many. Back row couldn't hear me, couldn't see me, could you? The camera, oh my goodness. And probably even a little annoyed. What's he doing down there? But it's me separating. You guys didn't move. The camera didn't change. The speakers didn't quit working. I changed it. I dropped out of communication. And it is sin that separates us from God. And that's number two. And the blank is sin is what separates us from God. Verse 3 explains how. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Wow. Defiled lips and hands condemn us. Some of us old timers, like me, thank you, dear. Good thing I have a watch lady out there. Sin has separated us. I remember growing up, you didn't hear much cussing in public. Amen? And I don't hardly ever remember hearing a lady curse. Now, to be honest, confession, I had a real foul mouth when I was in college in the fraternity, you know, and the old thing of, cussing like a sailor or whatever. But I never did it around the females, you know, or around adults, so I could control it, you know. It was just, but, you know, I thought it was macho, the fraternity guys, you know, or whatever, and honestly had a foul. Now, you know, I cringe when I hear cursing. How much more do I cringe when I see these young girls, you know, just in public just talking like it. And what is that? That's all about being equal today. We have to be equal. So, you know, it's okay for the ladies to curse and swear and do all things. It's okay for the guys. I got to be able to do it. And we're all demand this equality. But for what? But for what? You know, God says we are equal. You know, we are equal. And you don't have to cuss to prove it. You know, you can just show it in God's word that we're equal. But we are different. We have different roles, yet we are equal. But perverseness is spoken when truth has fallen in the street. Verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief, and they bring forth iniquity. Sound like today? Wow. How much, unfortunately, does that sound like today? We're so far from the truth, we don't even seek justice anymore. You know, remember the show, Truth? You can't handle the truth. And I'm afraid we've gotten to the point we almost can't handle the truth. You know, we certainly don't expect to get it. Even if we want it, it's like, don't confuse us with facts, you know? Some of these things have just become too commonplace in our society and in our culture. And it's just so sad. You know, as we'll see in a few verses in 9, that's why justice is so far away. Because we don't even seek it anymore. It's in darkness. The truth is in darkness. Verse 5 continues, they hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed beneath out, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Spiders and vipers. Lies defile everything and everyone around them. That's what they do. Spiders are marvelous creatures, but nobody likes them. Kathy and I always argue over who's going to kill the spider on the wall. You know, high five to the one that's brave enough to do it. But they're beautiful, wonderful creatures. But, oh, my goodness. No, don't let them go crawling on us, do we? Their webs are beautiful, but they're dangerous. I hate walking into a spider web in the crawl space. And you go, oh, help me, there might be spiders coming after me. Incredible. Nobody likes spiders. Or snakes. Amazing creatures. You know, beautiful snakes and all colors and stuff. Nobody likes them either. Well, nobody likes liars. You know, we don't like liars.
Now we have to try to identify who's lying. But we don't like it, you know? And why are there so many spiders? Well, one spider creates hundreds. I was cleaning out something the other day, you know, and I looked under the shelf and, oh my goodness, all these, you know, little cocoons. I mean, an army of spiders would have come out of that if we hadn't caught it in time. And, you know, get the vacuum, you know. I'm not going to touch them. It's in a spider web, for goodness sakes. But, you know, it's just like a lie. One lie can create hundreds. It gets out there. It's worse than the feathers that were used in his example, you know, because they can hurt you a lot more than the feather. Some feather flies out, okay, but lies can hurt. They can do damage. Look at verse 6. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. We wrap ourselves all up in the webs of lies and deceit. We get covered up, you know, people get wrapped up in that and just get trapped in it, really. And what results? Violence. We see results. My goodness. Just quickly online this morning, how much more violence just broke out again in Portland. Goodness. And pray for those people. Pray for our cities. And it's because why? Because truth has fallen in the streets. They're wrapped in the lies and the deceit and everything going on. You know. And again, a lot of this was written 10 years ago. And it's even more true. You see it on the news every week. Gun sales and permits are at record levels. Record levels. Why? Because we're in a violent society and truth has fallen in the streets. Verse 7, their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Boy, just even the last couple of months, how much more true is that? 2,800 years ago, people. Destruction and wasting in the path, the thoughts of iniquity. You know, all you have to do is watch the news. And sometimes, especially now, I tell people, quit watching the news because it's just spreading the lies and the deceit and the stuff that's going on. And the tragic truth, abortion sheds more innocent blood than anything else ever combined. You know, just so sad. It's just, many in our country, and one major political party in our country thinks that's wonderful. Wow. Wow. Truth has fallen in the street. When I was growing up, we could walk ourselves to the bus stop, even ride our bikes to school 2 miles away. You know, no issue, right? We didn't have to have the parents in the car following along behind. Yeah, we could go and we could play all day out in the fields, ride bikes around the neighborhood. Not today. Just feel so sad for kids nowadays. But it's wise to not. Why not today? Thoughts of iniquity equals wickedness. Destruction in their paths is evil. It equals evil. Consider the truth of this book. Our thought lives, our minds are constantly and continuously being defiled. They are after our minds. They being whatever it might be, the world is after our mind. Satan is the prince of this world. And they're continuously being defiled if we let them. If we let our mind dwell on that, we open ourselves to evil. Those memories that we get, unfortunately, we'll never forget. Maybe it isn't even our fault. Some idiot shows us something or tells us something and we just can't get it out of our mind. We don't forget it. You know? So maybe not our fault. Too often it is our fault. We go looking for terrible stuff. But, bam, we get it in there, hard to get out. Yes, the good news is God will forgive us and help cleanse up that dirty feeling that we get. But it's always still right there lurking, isn't it? It's waiting to lay another egg. It's ready to do that. We got to not eat those eggs, if I can say, that defile us. Yes, sin separates us from God. And Jude 1, 18 and 19 again confirms that we do it to ourselves. Verse 18 of Jude 1 says, "How that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." And in verse 19, that's in your bulletin, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." We separate themselves. Wow, to think we do that to ourselves. You know, we recognize it when the Israelites got away from it and get away from God, but we do it today too, don't we? Then number three on your bulletin, judgment and justice, and you can also add peace to that three, those things, are gone too. Judgment, justice, and peace are also gone. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 in Isaiah 59. Verse 8, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." Wow. You know, some people today would do most anything to get peace of mind, just to be able to sleep at night. Life is so disrupted, we can't find any peace. There's no peace on earth. Why? Truth has fallen in the street. And sin does not bring peace. No matter where we might look for it, if in the sin, we don't find peace. Just 2 weeks ago, a brother here, after Wednesday night, shared with me about not having peace, about being kept up at night, worrying about what's going to happen and, you know, what happens when it comes to his house. Well, can't blame him, can we? We can all worry about that. We probably do. What's this world coming to? What will our reactions be when it comes to our community? When it comes to our church? When it comes to our doorstep? Wow. We can get wrapped up in that. We can worry about that. Well, the next verse starts with therefore, indicating what is the result of this lack of judgment and lack of peace. Verse 9. "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness." All is backward and upside down. I wrote those words 4 years ago, and maybe Tom 10 years ago, I'm not sure. But just in Pastor's series, "The World Upside Down." Just so fitting. Good is declared evil. Evil is declared good. Truth has fallen in the street. Ecclesiastes 5:8, there on your bulletin, says we shouldn't be surprised. Look at that. It says, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor, the violent perverting of judgment, and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter." Wow. 2,800 years ago. You know, the word says, don't be surprised, don't marvel. And sadly, we are no longer are surprised, are we? I thought of that, going, wow. It used to surprise us when they let a child abuser off, or the mass murderer gets out after a few months. We're not even surprised anymore. We marvel not. We used to be surprised. But praise God, judgment will come. Isaiah also says in chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Yes, judgment is coming. We'll look at that in a moment. The result of our separation from God becomes our condition. The next blank on the outline, our condition gets worse. Our condition just gets worse. And it's from letting truth fall in the street. We'll be looking at verses 10 through the first part of 15 now. Verse 10, "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon, day as in the night.
We are in desolate places as dead men. Wow. We've all seen physically blind, or we've experienced it ourselves. We're in total darkness, groping for the wall. I do it almost every morning. Where's the light switch? You know, it's dark. We got to be careful, and we're groping. That's spiritual blindness. We just stumble and trip along looking for the light. Because like physical blindness, we can have spiritual blindness, just groping our way through life, trying to find our way, trying to find the light switch. We look for guidance. We look for that light switch. Well, the truth is our light switch. We need to find it. We need to turn it on. It's one thing finding the switch. Turn on the light switch in the spiritual. Then verse 11, we roar like all bears, or we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. We live in an angry and sorrowful time, don't we? We're told, and our kids are taught, that we're victims. So-and-so's fault. They did this to me. They're treating me bad. I'm upset about it. But then the anger turns to tears. Oh, it's so unfair. Oh, they're just treating me. Oh, I'm sorry. Anger and tears. But either way, no matter what we use, we still don't find justice, do we? We still can't find justice. It seems afar off. People cry out, can't something or someone save us? Please deliver us from this. Deliver us from this evil. But they look for their salvation everywhere but where they should. They look to their family. They look to the government of all places. They even look to the church. They might look everywhere except to the only one true one that can truly save them. That's where they need to look. Again, can you believe this was written 2,800 years? You know, I'll just keep coming back to it. Phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Could have been written this morning. Verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. We remember, again, we get those things in our mind, and we pay the price. We elect and re-elect the corrupt politicians, trusting them, of all people, to help us to solve our problems, to correct things. All the while, sins are indeed just being multiplied. In fact, most of them help multiply it, unfortunately. They piled up on top of each other. They just keep growing. Our transgressions are multiplied. And so we continue in our worsening condition. Conditions just get worse. Look at verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Well, the problem may be that it just starts with us. Remind you that we have the truth. We're the ones with the truth. We need to get that out there as well. Notice that the transgressions multiply. They abide with us. We know what they are. We Christians are the only ones that can pick up the fallen truth from our street. And we need to lift it up. We need to lift up the truth proudly. And of course, then, once we do that, we need to live it. We need to live it if we're going to lift it and proclaim it. You know, we think and say, well, it's okay if I do this. Everybody else is doing it. You know, or if I do this, well, it's okay. When we know it's not okay. But
We try to make it record. Remember the prodigal son in Luke 15. He repented saying, I have sinned against you, his father, and against God. You know, he repented. Christians today will say they believe this book, but in reality, very few believe it enough to live it, unfortunately. We revolt, says the revolt, which means to rebel. We rebel against the word, against this book, and it means we're rebelling against the truth. But we say it, we say we believe the book, but we don't live it. That's what it says, lying against the Lord. We just tell a lie if we say we believe it and don't live it. It's hard to get that personal, but I'm afraid that's what happens with truth falling in the street. Rejecting God's word, embracing the culture with no regard for the institutions of God. We're seeing them torn down all across our land and in the world. And then our key verse, verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Equity is fairness. How many of us all have said, that's not fair? There isn't fair. Justice is afar off, and it can't even get in. We feel that today for sure. Justice cannot be had without the truth. Witnesses in courtroom, I don't even know if they do it anymore, used to place their hand on the Bible and pledge to tell the truth. I know they've abandoned that, if not all in courtrooms, many of them. But truth has fallen in the street. We don't stand up and tell the truth. It's all about equality now. Everyone has to be equal. You know, can't claim to have the truth. That would mean I'm better than you, which it doesn't. But that's not what we're told. We don't stand up and tell the truth. And we used to thank God that in America, he gave everyone the equal opportunity to grow. And even that doesn't seem so anymore, does it? They're taking away opportunities, all under the guise of being equal. Wow. Being forced to be equal. But that doesn't mean that we're all equal. They can say that as if it's true, but it's not true. The 10% that whine and complain and they riot control the 90% that don't. The 40% that work support the 60% that don't. Things are upside down, totally upside down. We see it more and reach more things in our culture all the time. Why? Probably answer the question. Because truth is fallen in the street. Common sense can't even break through. Notice that? Common sense is built on the truth. Well, the truth is that God's word is compared to a sword, dividing families, father from son, parents from children, friend from friend, because it rightly divides the truth. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Yes, the word reveals the truth. And then verses 15a, the first part, says, "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." Wow, you depart from evil, make yourself a prey. Let's look at that. Truth may fail, but again, it can't die because God can't die. Truth is so strong that people make it appear to be bad, but it isn't. And if we proclaim it and depart from evil like we should, we're considered to be mad. We're crazy. We're wacko. You believe the fairy tale? What a nutcase. Wow. That's what they tell us. We become a prey. 2,800 years ago. You avoid that? Eschew evil, we become a prey. We become targeted. 2,800 years ago, we were warned about that. We've seen truth fallen in the street. And our condition is suffering the worse and worse for it. In your bulletin, Ezekiel 31:12 puts our condition this way. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him upon the mountains and in all the valleys. His branches are fallen and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him. How sad. How sad. It's a sad way to live. We're living it more and more every day. So, the next blank on the outline, number 5. So what is God's response to letting truth fall in the street? How does God respond to that? Isaiah 59 gives us verse 15b, the second part. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. God intervened. God intervened. Throughout history, when God's people don't speak up and hold up the truth, that God's word is truth, God has intervened. Noah spoke up. No one listened to his truth for hundreds of years. God intervened. Built the ark, brought the flood. Moses spoke up to Pharaoh, first to Pharaoh, then to his people. But then what? The people rebelled against the truth. God intervened once again. And then the religious leaders led the people away from the truth for 400 plus years. The time from the Old Testament to the New Testament. No truth. Led away. God intervened again. Praise God. Jesus Christ came to earth. John 3:17, there in your bulletin. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. Then, even when that wasn't enough, Isaiah 59 continues in verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. This is what we should be doing. What we should be doing, being zealous and putting on the word of God. Get prepared for battle. It's coming. It's here, I would dare say. There is so little passion or zeal for anything that matters today. Oh, maybe a movie. We're excited to share that. Or a sports team, you know, if they ever play again. I guess baseball started up. And some get all worked up and zealous over a politician. But in general, we're so indifferent to so much, aren't we? We've kind of become hardened. You know, it's almost easier. Go along to get along, whatever it might be. We lose our zeal. That's understandable for non-Christians. They have no hope, no expectations of relief. I don't know how people deal with it, to be frank with you, without the Lord. I don't know if I could handle it. It's terrible. But we see, and they're not handling it, obviously. They're burning our cities down. No hope, no expectation of relief. There's nowhere to go or to turn because they don't know who they can go to. They don't know who to turn to. But we Christians should be zealous for the things of God and for the lost, to tell them they can find truth and where they can go. You know, Pastor Tom, who founded the church, was such a wonderful example. You know, went out soul winning, he went 3-4 days a week. And literally, when he got to the end of the block and doors are slammed in his face or denied, he would literally cry over the lost on that street. You'd see tears come down his cheeks just thinking about people that were lost. That's a zeal. That's a zeal for the lost people and for the word of God. So, then the verse 18 continues, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Rest assured, people, judgment is coming. possibly, even hopefully soon. Amen. We all have adversaries. God especially has adversaries. And the end, the word says that the unsaved are enmity. They're at war. Enmity with God. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" The world's our friend. We're at war with God. "Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Wow. Whose team would we rather be on, people? We know who's victorious. We proclaim who's victorious. Let's get on his team. Let's do that. Support one another, because truth is fallen in the street. Isaiah continues with God's response in verse 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Folks, we don't want to be there for that. We do not want to be here when he comes with that. You can read all about the tribulation in Revelation, but that's a whole nother sermon. Could be here all afternoon talking about that. But briefly, in your bulletin, Revelation 19, verses 15 and 16, look at this. You know, it wasn't enough that he sent Jesus. Not everybody got on board. Here's what happens at the end times. Verse 15. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Wow. That's going to be a time. I hope we get to witness it, but not firsthand. Amen. You know, I thought, you know, they used to tell Josh, you know, "You get in trouble. I brought you into this world. I can take you out." Yeah, you probably heard that. And, you know, some truth to that. Obviously, wouldn't do that. But God, literally, he created the world. He can take us out. He created it with the word. It says, out of his mouth, just speaking, the sword of the mouth, of the tongue. He can speak it. He spoke it into existence. He can speak it out just that quickly. Wow. So, right now, for sure, the devil is having a heyday. The devil is reveling in what is going on, destroying families, destroying people, destroying institutions, the church, the country. But we don't have to let him destroy us, people. Don't let him do that. Join the victorious team. We know who wins in the end if we believe this book. That's where we want to be. Isaiah then 59 closes with more of God's response in verses 20 and 21. "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Wow. Yes, truth has fallen in the street, but it's not dead. It lives forever, and it wants to set us free. So you're saying, "Okay, Elder Don, you've convinced us truth's fallen in the street. What can we do?" I'm glad you asked. What should our response be to God and his word today? What is our response? Quickly, we'll just go through five responses in dealing with the truth fallen in the street. Number one, get the real truth into our lives. Get the real truth. It's hard. You shouldn't even have to say the real truth. Amen? Truth is truth. Get the truth into our lives. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, to come out of our mouths, it what? Has to go into our mind first. We have to meditate on it. It must be, the word must be in our minds. Be in the word. Get the truth in. And then recall and think of the correct things. Now in your bulletin, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we should be thinking of. That's what we should be meditating on. Are we feeling overwhelmed? Easy to do. Turn off the news. Get in the Word. Think on these things. And then live the truth, not being double-minded. Ephesians 4:13 through 15. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We should grow up to become like him. That's what we're striving to do. Don't be double-minded, tossed to and fro. Stand firm. Stand stable. And number two, that means we need to be separated from the world. We need to be separated from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, there in your bulletin. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean physically you have to separate. We don't move up on the mountaintop, you know, we don't huddle in the church. But spiritually, we separate ourselves. The world can have it. Amen? Who wants that stuff? Most people have some appeal to them. We need to separate. Don't try to hide from him. He's not moving. Or try to keep one foot in this camp, one foot in that. Oh, that hurts. Straddling the fence can hurt. Amen? But pick the winning side. Pick the winning side. Stay on that team. Aye, aye, Jesus. I'm on your team. Give us direction. And good news, there in your bulletin, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Wow. All that's going on. But it can't separate us from the love of Christ. Only we can separate from him. As Jamie so wonderfully pointed out Wednesday night, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us even unto the end of the world. Wow. Do not let the world's sad state of affairs with its truth fallen in the street shake you, or especially shake your faith. Stand strong. Link arms with other separated Christians. That's what church is about. We want to bear each other up, you know. It doesn't matter if they get weak-kneed. They've got an elbow on each side to help hold them up. We're in this together, separated from the world, holding truth up. Number three, we need to accept salvation. Accept salvation. And then you can add, then share it. Accept salvation, then share it. People believe lies. We know that. They're persuaded that Jesus' blood is not sufficient. That's a myth. That's not the truth. The truth is found in John 3:16. There in your bulletin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. If you haven't accepted that gift yet today, I urge you to take care of that today. You need to get on the victorious team. We need to accept his salvation. It's a freely offered gift. He wants it all. He's already borne your sins. Give it over to him. Be saved. It's a perfect day to do so. Let us know if that's you. Please let us know. We'd be happy to help you, show you how you can know the truth and to know the Lord Jesus. We want to help you. But if you have accepted that already, do not be ashamed to share it with others. Remember, they need the truth. They don't even know where to look. We should be ready, standing there to share it with them. It doesn't have to be a big, involved process. Say, hey, here's a link. Go listen to this. You know, if they're down, they're depressed, they're dealing with whatever's going on, we have so many resources available to just reach out, share the truth. Share the truth. You know, we talk, we lose our vision because we can't go door to door. We can't, you know, it's hard. How do we get out and do this? Well, we have other things. We just need to refocus and replan and continue to get the word out there. However we can, to share the truth with others. They need the truth. Be zealous about proclaiming the truth. Get that zeal back. You know, when I was first saved, I couldn't wait to tell my friends. Found out that didn't go anywhere very quickly, you know. But they all know I'm a Christian now. You know, I made it clear. And if they want prayer or something, they still call me, you know. 50 years later, hey, Don, would you pray for this? Wow, where'd that come from? But we need to let them know where we stand and what the truth is. So number four, receive instruction. We need to receive instruction. We need to be in church or tuning in the live stream. Religiously, don't miss. Kind of even almost hate to use the word religiously anymore, don't we? But it has good connotation there. We do this religiously. We're committed to it. Don't miss it. Make it, being in church or on live stream, along with reading the word, your number one priority. That's what we ought to be taking first. That's why we issued the Sunday school book on the devotions, be in the word daily. We can all do it together and encourage one another to receive instruction. Proverbs 1, 2, and 3 in your bulletin. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Wow, all the things that have fallen in the street with the word, with the truth. Wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, peace. Remember, that was missing when truth had fallen in the street. And there's a cure for that right here in Proverbs 1, 2, and 3. Instruction. We need to receive it. And receiving, not only hear it, take it to heart. Take it to heart. Which is then finally, number five, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That was in our Sunday school class this morning. Okay, we're saved. We've been instructed. We're reading. We're meditating on God's word. Now, go live it. Got all this great information. We're doing all the stuff behind the scenes. Go live it with some zeal. Micah 6:8 on your bulletin says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That is so true. He showed us. He's given it to us. He showed us, oh man, what is good. What's he require of us? To do justly, to do the word, love mercy, walk humbly with God. And then there's this. From the Proverbs, also on your bulletin, 21, verse 3, and then verse 15. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Wow. Well, I gave up this, you know, I gave up my Sunday morning to go there. Well, that's good. That's a good sacrifice. But it's better to do justice and judgment. That's more acceptable to the Lord that we do it. To do it. Verse 15 of Proverbs 21. It is joy to the just to do judgment. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Wow. What work do we want to do? We want to do just judgment, to be just, to be righteous, not workers of iniquity. Then the obvious example of go and sin no more is commanded by Jesus himself with the woman that he just saved. After asking if any man had condemned her, John 8:11 said, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. In fact, I'm going to save you today. But the final instruction, go and sin no more. Let's clean up, people. We need to clean some things up, I think. Things we might need to give up and change. But we can do that with the Holy Spirit's help. And then the last one in your bulletin, 1 Peter 1:21-23. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God? Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Oh, there's that old word. Obeying in truth. Through the Spirit into unfeigned love. Unfeigned, not fake love. Unfeigned. You know, it's kind of amazing when I thought about this. Nowadays, it's become regular term. We got fake news. Whoever, 5 years ago, you never heard of fake news. It's probably out there, I'm sure. But now it's kind of like, yeah, it's fake news. We accept that. You know, truth's falling in the street, so it's fake news. Wow. Unfeigned. It's fake. Well, we do not want to have fake love for the brethren. We need to love each other in word and in deed. Just not saying it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Wow. The truth is forever. It's eternal. And it can set us free. How important is that, people? And we can have that incorruptible seed by the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your incorruptible and eternal word. Lord, your word is truth. And Jesus, you are the word. Wow. If only us as Christians can just really grasp that and get a new zeal for that this morning, Lord. We just ask you to fill us with your Spirit, to embolden us to reach out and just at least be available and anxious and ready to share the truth with others. Lord, the world's truth has fallen in the street, as foretold 2,800 years ago, and it's been falling ever since. But Lord, it's just being trampled on now. Yes, it's been in the street, but now they're stomping on it. They're taking it down, and Satan is having a heyday. We come against him in the name of Jesus, that we will stand strong. You will give us the strength and ability, Lord, to bear one another's burdens, hold each other up, and then reach out to others. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I just pray a blessing on each one that hear the message this morning, and for those that don't know you, to find out how they can. Lord, it is so imperative nowadays that the truth be out there, be held up and ready to be shared before they shut us down completely. That's their goal. Help us to be strong, Lord, and do just that. So we thank you for this time. And just thank you that we could be in church together to hear from you. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen. All right, Nancy, if you'd come as we play, we take this time now for just an invitation and a time of reflection, if you will, on what God maybe has said to you and to your hearts today. Just spend a few minutes thinking about what God would have you do in your response. Hopefully he spoke to your heart this morning. The truth is being trampled in the street right now. It's fallen there. Now it's being trampled. But what can we do? What can I do to lift it up on high for all to see? Meditate on that. And again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come and let us know somehow. I put a couple more verses for you to reflect on as we go into this time, if you'd like, in your bulletin at the bottom of reflection. Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." Wow. Yeah, we might lose some immediate family, immediate friends, but we're gaining a whole church family of friends and mothers and sisters and brothers. Thank you, Jesus, for supplying all our need. And then again, John 8:32, we'll close with that. "And ye shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free." What might you need to leave behind in this world today so that you can better live the truth and truly be free? What cares, what fears, what relationships can we distance ourselves from in order to better grow and to be better witnesses for our Lord and the one true God, Jesus Christ? Reflect on these things and meditate in this time of prayer. And then David will sing and we'll pray and be dismissed.